Would you bow your heads with me? God, it feels so good to be still and to be quiet. We just don't get that time very often in our lives. We thank you for just this holy moment. And it feels even better to be still and quiet in your presence. And I know when I say that I want you to speak this morning, I am saying that on behalf of every woman here. That's why they're here. This is such an important teaching to understand how much you long to talk to us all the time. Encouraging words, helpful words, words that guide us and give us wisdom and bring us victory. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take the blinders off of the eyes of our heart and show us truth about anything that you know we need to see this morning. We really are desperate for you to navigate through this life on earth well and to prepare for eternity well. We are desperate, desperate for you. So come in this place. Lord Jesus, you are welcome. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Father, thank you for your written word and your living word. We are excited to learn what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now my special patient little friend, Elena, cruise on up here. She's going to help me this morning. Come on up, sweetie. Elena, it's time. Come have a seat on the stool. She says, I don't know. Is it time? Are you sure? I came up before. You want to hop up there? You want to get up here? Remember how we talked about? This is Elena Olson. She's a little friend of mine. Do you need my help? No. She says, I can do this. And she and I, for whatever reason, have this very special little connection. Would you be willing to stand? Or you? Oh, no. She wants to sit. That's good. I like a little girl who knows what she wants. There you go. Word of God is going to be very important in your life if you know what you want. Ask me how I know. I want to bless you this morning, Elena, okay? Elena, today in the name of Jesus, I command your ears to hear clearly and understand with spiritual understanding the Word of God. Like the wise man who builds his house upon the rock, may you hear the sayings of Jesus and follow them all the days of your life. May the seed of the word fall on fertile ground in your heart so that you will not only hear but understand and bring forth fruit 100 times over. Elena, may you hear and heed the words of your parents and your teachers. May their words of wisdom be precious to you today and every day. I bless the ears of your heart, Elena, that they may hear the words of knowledge and wisdom that are spoken to you today and every day by God's righteous ones on earth. God bless you. Love you. Thanks for helping me. I just want to kiss that face. Can I kiss your cheek? I would get all that lipstick on it, wouldn't I? You're all done. In our family, we call this numbing. We say they're numbing where they're like, thank you. Do you want to stay there or are you ready to go downstairs with the kids?
I want to go in the stable.
Go in the stable? Well, you and your mom can work that out. Because I don't know what that is or where it is, but maybe. Thank you, Elena. Don't forget to come find me afterwards. Thank you. Yes, let's give her a hand. I asked Elena to do that just to give you an idea of something we do every morning at our house before our children leave for school. Now, they don't sit and attend to me nearly like that. Sometimes I'm following Andy as he's picking up, putting stuff in his backpack. But years ago, I met a wonderful woman by the name of Dr. Mary Ruth Swope. And she had her grandchildren living in the same town as her, and they had moved away, and she was heartbroken on many levels. But one of the things that bothered her was she felt like she had kind of lost her spiritual influence on them in a significant way. And the Lord put on her heart to start writing blessings and call them on the phone and read them over the phone. And she did that, and sometimes if she forgot, they would call her, even as they got older. And so she wrote this little, just put the blessings in this little book, and has a little introductory section that explains blessings, particularly from the Old Testament. And I got a hold of that book and decided when the kids were young, I was going to bless them before they walked out the door. One, to put the name of the Lord upon them, but two, to make sure that as they left our home each morning, this is what was going on instead of what can go on when you leave in the morning, right? The screaming and the yelling and the don't forget this and all that kind of thing. And do that to this day. Now, my boy, Ben's away, and I start sending him, oh, that's a whole long story. But anyway, Andy's still there. I still bless him most mornings. Sometimes we don't get to it when I'm a little running late. It's never about him. But it is something that has brought a lot of peace to that moment when my kids walk. There's nothing magic about doing it when they walk out the door. It was just something I decided I wanted to do. You know, there's lots of families that do that at night before children go to bed. And that way dads can be involved, because if your house is like our house, if you have a dad in your house, he's long gone by the time the kids go to school. But anyway, I'd be happy to give you information on that. When my kids were Elena's age, I didn't really read that whole blessing like I did. I do now to them, but I would change it. But the thing I loved about this book was, A, the blessing was based on scripture, and it gives you the scripture at the bottom of each one, a couple of different scriptures. But B, I didn't have to try to think of a blessing. I just went page by page and then started all over again. So if you have any interest in taking a peek at that or getting the information on ordering it, I'd be glad to give it to you. Numbers chapter 6 has a pretty well-known blessing called the priestly blessing. And I'd like you to read these verses with me. They're on the PowerPoint. They're also on your handout. Give you a minute to kind of get settled. I listen to my CDs, not because I like to hear myself talk. Well, we all do like to hear ourselves a little bit, I have to be honest. But there's a lot of times I listen to them truly, 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 and say, really, Lord, now who really wants to listen to that? You know, because you know yourself. But I listen to it to try to help me improve. And I have, believe it or not, gotten much slower in teaching over the years. But when I listened to the heart-to-heart one, I thought, I need to take more pauses. So I wrote that in my notes, pause, trying to give everybody time, including me, to just process a little bit and move on to the next place. Numbers 6, 23 through 25, if you'll read it with me, please. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. That phrase, they will put my name on the Israelites, the Lord had told Moses and Aaron to use this priestly blessing with the Israelites. But that little phrase in that verse is so important. When we bless someone, we put the name of the Lord upon them. Psalm 138, verse 2, says that God exalts his name and his word above all things. I don't know how many of you have ever listened to Jack Hayford, very well-known pastor, Bible teacher, author. And I got a lot of his information on blessing and learned from him this concept of when you bless someone, whether it's a formal blessing like I just did with Elena, or whether it's saying to someone, the Lord bless you as you travel on this trip, or anything in between, that you are in the heavenlies putting the name of the Lord on that person. I don't know about you, but for me, I want the name of the Lord on my family, particularly my children, my husband too. But as mothers, we want so much to give them every edge that they can have in getting through life. So this is a very, very, very powerful thing. And two things about this blessing I want to point out. First of all, the Jews were told to speak this over their families in the morning. Again, I don't think there's a magic about morning, but that was part of their tradition, part of their ritual. And then secondly, that second phrase about the Lord turning his face toward you, scholars tell us, Bible teachers tell us, that in the original language in Hebrew, that would best be interpreted like this. A very healthy daddy reaching down to pick up their child and put them in the air like this. Now, if you picked up your child, or a daddy did, and put their child up in the air, would they go like this? What would they do with their head and their face? They would turn their face toward that child. And these scholars say that because of the way the language is written, it is not just a look of watching their child like for safety. It is a look of delight. So the Lord is saying in this blessing, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And then will the Lord turn his face toward you and delightfully look at you and enjoy you. I think that's so important because so often we feel like God is what? Mad at us. And I just heard a woman say recently, God is not mad at you. God is mad for you or about you. Why is that important for us to understand? It's really important for our emotional and spiritual health. But when we're talking about families, we need to get that concept. It was so important for Ben and Andy Jameson, for their mom to understand that God is mad about me. That God picks me up, if you will, in the heavenly places. I don't fully get this. And turns his face of delight toward me. Because that is going to make such a difference in the way I speak to my children, my grandchildren, my husband, those that are close to me and love me. Blessing is so, so important. Let's pray. God, we've already committed this time to you, but there's something in my spirit saying that somehow, for some reason, somebody really needs to get a hold of this truth. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would dispel the lies to whatever woman in this room has believed that God is mad at her and disappointed with her. And I pray that you would make real this image of you looking at us, turning your face toward us with delight on your face and approval and acceptance. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's all you came for this morning. It's worth its weight in gold. Our families need God's word and God's name put on them. Words contain power. How many of you know that? Words contain power. We often know that up here. Sometimes we forget that, don't we? Our words contain a ton of power. Even if you get that and you're careful with your words and you don't speak negative words, we forget sometimes the power that is in our positive words. I was telling someone the other day something that I had heard another person say about them. She came back to me 3 times and thanked me for that. And I just was sharing because I thought it was really cool that she should hear it, not just me. Our words have so much power, don't they? We all have some words etched in our mind for good or for evil. I dated Larry Warman in high school. He was a sweet boyfriend. We had a very sweet, innocent relationship. Rebecca, he went to Saratoga High School. Rebecca and I have all these California connections we just discovered. And we liked each other a ton, and we had a very healthy little relationship. But he said to me one night, you know what, Sherilyn? You would be perfect if you had big brown eyes. Now, he didn't mean that to be unkind. Now, I didn't think about the other things that maybe that meant. The other nice, I have carried that with me to this day. It's wrong. I mean, I'm healthy and I'm okay and all that. And you don't need to come up and tell me my eyes are okay. But it is very hard for me. I have to say to myself, your eyes are pretty. It's very hard. And some of you right now are getting very teary because you're thinking about some words etched in your mind, aren't you? But here's the great news. That's what's so awesome about the Word of God. He takes stuff like this and he says, that is a lie. Here's the truth. Sherilyn, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And for whatever reason, you have small hazel eyes. You weren't meant to have big brown eyes. And in my sight, Sherilyn, you're perfect for what I made you for. His word is so important because words have so much power. Proverbs 18:21 in the Amplified Bible say, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We need to understand that. But we need to teach that to our children. I didn't say we need to teach that to our husband. We should pray about that if our husband has trouble with that. But we're not his keeper, the Lord is. The Message Bible says this verse so beautifully. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. I have a little thing on my refrigerator that never comes down that says, I have often repented from saying something. I have never repented from remaining silent. Now, some of you need the power of the Lord to speak up. Some of you are not like me. You're wired very different, and you need God's power to speak up, and this isn't for you. But some of us, a lot of us, who have trouble with our mouth, need the power of the Holy Spirit to know when to speak and when to be quiet. This is such a profound principle in the life of our families. Deuteronomy in chapter 30, it says, the Lord says, I have set before you what? Life and death, the blessings and the curses. Therefore, do what? Choose life. Why? So that you and your descendants may live. Our words and God's word together have very great, great power. Together they bring life and vitality to others, or they bring death and kill things in others. All kinds of things. Hope, reputation. With children, it can kill their will. We don't ever want to do that. It can kill their spirit. We do want to actually discipline and train their will, but not their spirit. We don't want to kill their spirit in the process of that. I'm convinced that the most effective way to choose life for your family is by understanding and receiving what we call the Rhema Word of God. The topic for today, you've probably seen that on your handout already, is what your family needs most from you, receiving the Rhema Word of God. Maybe you're thinking, that's an awfully bold statement. For you to say, that's the thing my family needs the most, but don't I need to discipline my children? And don't I need to love and submit to my husband? I ran into a girl that wants to be here, but she has 3 children and is pregnant, and it's not working in her life. And she said, did you do the S word yet? I said, no, that's in April. And she said, I think I'm going to come sit there for that. I said, well, would you like to teach it? Because I'm not very good at it yet, so I'm not so sure. But if you haven't seen the schedule, the S word is submission, which is a hard one to talk about, but really, really important. The Rhema word of God is so, so, so important for you and me, because although our problems are common, the word says there is no problem but such is common to mankind, the specific situations and the personalities involved and the relationships involved are very specific, aren't they? And they vary. So as much as I would love to get up here this morning and give you a little formula for going home and raising this wonderful Christian family, I have no power or ability to do that. I wish I could. I'm a formula-bent person. That would be fun to me. But that would be tragic, because I don't live in your home and I don't walk in those relationships with you. Only God does. And the Rhema word, which I will explain if you're saying, what the heck is that? I'm going to tell you about that this morning. The Rhema word is what will tell you is needed for specific relationships, for specific situations. The Rhema word will help you in these relationships that are difficult and in these messy situations that we get into in families, even though we wish we didn't. So very important. Family relationships of every kind have needs that are unique. And so we have to know what's on God's heart. Proverbs 3, you may know this verse well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not what? Lean on your own understanding. That is so hard, isn't it? It's just so, we're just so quick to go to our own understanding. And the more and more God's word is in your heart, the more you can lean on understanding as he begins to renew your mind and make you more like Christ. But in these relationships, if we don't lean on our own understanding, how do we deal with them? I think we do it in two ways with God's word. By leaning on receiving the wisdom from the word of God, and by meditating and studying on the word so that we understand what's on the heart of God, so that we can respond in a way that he would want us to. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 in the Amplified Bible says, every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, reproof, conviction of sin, correction of error, discipline in obedience, training in righteousness. Remember that first week, the habits of a righteous woman? And the Amplified Bible defines righteousness as holy living, conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action. So that, very important words, so that The God-breathed Word of God is good for all these things, instruction, reproof, conviction, all of that, so that the woman of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for what? Every good work. Now, don't do what we tend to do and kind of spiritualize that phrase, good work. If you're like me, you probably put that in a ministry setting or kind of a church sort of setting for the good works I have to do for God, for telling someone about Jesus. Listen to what those words mean. Good is obvious. It means beneficial. But the word work there in Greek means business, employment, that which one is occupied with. Many of you, most of you in here, are moms who are the primary caregivers of your children. You need the Word of God to be instructing you, reproving you, correcting you, convicting you of sin, so that you are, what does it say in the Amplified Bible? Complete, proficient, well-fitted, thoroughly equipped for doing the job that God has given you as a mother, as a grandmother, as a wife, as an employee. Isn't that so good? We need this. We really are desperate. That was the perfect song to sing. We are desperate for Him and for this Word. And as much as Bible study and going to church and going to life group and all those things are extremely helpful and extremely good, nothing will change you unless you really begin to read and meditate on and study the words in the Word of God. Do you know the word memorize is not in the Word of God? I have nothing against memorizing. It's wonderful if you can do it. But if you're someone like me who gets so frustrated by memorizing because I don't do very well, I will tell you that the word that is in the Word of God about His Word is meditate. And meditate has the meaning. Did I already tell you this? Maybe I said it at the retreat because I feel like I just said it. We haven't been together for a while, so I probably didn't tell you this. The meaning of the word meditate in Hebrew is ruminate, which is kind of disgusting. But think of a cow chewing its cud. What does a cow do when he chews his cud? He chews it, he swallows it, regurgitates it. He chews it some more, he swallows it. I know, it's disgusting. But it's a really helpful picture on what meditate is. That's what meditate is. You get a phrase of Scripture, and you think about it, and you go away and do your other things, and then you come back to it, and you keep returning to it, and you meditate on it till it starts to get into the fiber of your being and begins to change you and renew your mind. Really important. There have been so many countless times that God's, I mean, I could really, truly, my other Bible, I finally cashed it in. Remember, I was like, could barely read it. This one's so much darker. But my other one, I really, sometimes when I hold it, I weep because I can't imagine where my life and my relationships would be without the words of God. It's so precious to us. It is such a gift that we can take so lightly. And there have been a number of times that God's word has been so much a rhema word for me. When I was a young adult and I was just understanding that I was very unhealthy emotionally, I was at a conference and Bruce Wilkinson from Walk Through the Bible was teaching. And he shared a verse out of Psalm 27, verse 10. It says, "When my mother and father have forsaken me, the Lord will receive me." Another version says, "Take me up." And what that verse means, Bruce explained, is that when my mother and father have pulled me apart like a tug of war, if you've been through a divorce as a child, did you feel like the rope? I mean, big time. The Lord will receive me, take me up. That means to glue me back together piece by piece. Powerful. When Benjamin was struggling in school as a student, I remember when he was in fourth grade and I went to a very dear friend and said, "Would you agree with me to pray that this kid would begin to feel like a student?" I had great suspicions. There were learning disabilities. The school system did not want to listen to me. I won't get into that story for many reasons. So I said to my friend, "Let's agree together. We're going to pray that Ben would begin to feel like a student, see himself as a reader. He's able to do this. God can do this. Make the things connect." She called me one day. She said, "I have a verse for Ben. Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy will follow Ben all the days of his life, and he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I grabbed onto that. I began to pray that. I didn't tell him. He was awfully young. I just began to pray that. That has become a rhema word for Ben and for me. He now knows it. It's kind of a life verse in my heart for him, not his. but in my heart for him. Prayed it again in December when I got this text. Mom, would you please pray for me? I'm really stressed about finals. I'm having a hard time. And I texted back, goodness and mercy, you're going to follow you all the days of your life, kid. It's going to be all right. You know, the things we can hang on to. And there's so much power in that, especially when I put my words with God's word. So much power. Then our dear, sweet Andy, you know, remember the big hair, so handsome now. It's all trimmed and nice. Starting to get long again, isn't it, Lynn? Starting to get a little out of control. Such a timid little guy. High S, if you know the personalities, wants to please so much. We began to see things in him. David and I, we were kind of concerned. A little bit of a follower. We didn't know how that was going to play out in middle school and high school. I'll never forget the day the Lord gave me 1 Timothy 1:7. Sherilyn, I have not given Andy a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. And I pray that over and over in situations when concerns come up. And now he knows it. And that for me, in my heart, is the word that I begin to pray and the word I begin to speak to him and over him and put on him. See the power in that? When we moved here, the day I answered the phone, Dave Dolben, Park Forest Middle School, can I speak to Dave Jameson, please? Dave was at a basketball practice, and I said, I'll go tell him. It was a day without, way before cell phones. I said, I'll go tell him. I hung up the phone, and this is what I heard in my mind. As for me, my way is perfect. I did not know that was a scripture. Later, God showed me that in Psalm 18. As for me, my way is perfect. I have clung to that. I still go back to that. When it has nothing to do with Pennsylvania not wanting to live here. Please understand me. It has everything to do with people I love and an ocean I love and sunshine I love. You know, it has nothing to do with Pennsylvania. But the times when I get so down about that, like when my friend died last week and I couldn't get out there to the service. And I said, Lord, you promised me. Your way is perfect. So I trust you. There's so much power in that. When I put my words with his words. And this verse has helped me over and over and over. It's the last one I'll share. But in my personal journey of healing, Jeremiah 1:5 in the Amplified Bible says, before I formed you in the womb, before I ever formed you in the womb, God says, I knew you. And the Amplified Bible says, and I approved of you. So when I feel disapproved, when I'm having a hard time, when my confidence is low, I remind myself of that. Now, why am I telling you these? And you go, oh, lovely. So you know the word, and you have these words for your family, and I don't, and that's so great. Good for you. That isn't why I'm telling you. The reason I can stand here and say those like they're my address is because I was a desperate woman, and the Lord gave me that word when I was studying. Same word. Tell them, I was desperate. If you don't show up somehow in here for me, for Dave, for Ben, for Andy, I forgot to tell you the one about my stepmother. Struggle in that relationship. Have since I was 4 when she entered my life. I'm 52. Struggle. Struggled when I called my dad back on the day he called my birthday and she answered and the weird stuff she said to me. Struggle. Oh, I struggle. I'm sorry. I just do. And the Lord would take me over and over and over to 1 Peter chapter 2 that says, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus, Charlene. When he suffered, he uttered no threats, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges righteously. I have felt so unjustly accused by her. I have felt so mistreated by her. Maybe reality, maybe perception, probably both. But ultimately, I look at Jesus. He suffered. And when he did, he didn't. I can't tell you the times I want to give her a piece of my mind. Every time the Lord says, no, 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 no. Look at Jesus. He didn't open his mouth. He entrusted himself to the one who, see the power in it? That's the only reason I'm sharing. See the power in that? I mean, if I ever gave her a piece of my mind, I might not even be in relationship with my father. You know, there's a lot of, the pastor I grew up with had this amazing saying. He said, sorrow follows wrong, like echo follows song. On and on and on and on. When we make the selfish choice when we make the choice that is best for us, but maybe nobody else, it's like throwing a pebble in water. And that ripple, 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 it affects so many. Have you ever heard about somebody that was very special to you, maybe that encouraged you in your walk with God, and you hear about their divorce? Does it kind of rock you a little bit? Rocks your world a little bit? Might rock your faith a little bit? We don't realize how desperately our choices, that's not the right word, how significantly our choices affect other people. Not just those close. It goes so big, doesn't it? It just goes so big. For good and for bad. Those are rhema words. So what is the rhema word? What is this all about? It's two words in the Word of God for word. I did that nice and slow. I hope you got that. Logos is one of them. Rhema is the other. Logos literally means expression of thought. Logos is this. Logos is the comprehensive Word of God. Logos is the Bible. We call it the written word. But Logos is also the person of Jesus. We call him the living word. They are both logos. They are the expression of thought. It is God saying, this is who I am. Writing about himself, and this is who I am in the person of Jesus, okay? Then there is the word rhema. Oh, I wanted to tell you, I just read this the other day. 1 John 5:7. I don't read the King James Version hardly ever, but I was reading it for something. I don't remember now why. And it referred to the Trinity like this. The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Because Jesus is the living Word. Then there's the rhema word. And it literally means utterance. And it's for a specific, it's a word, an utterance for a specific situation, a specific time. Let me show you the difference between the two in Scripture. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, or the Logos, and the Word, the Logos, was with God, and the Word, the Logos, was God. Vine's Dictionary says Logos is used as in respect to the mind only. Okay, so we need that. We need the Logos word. We need the comprehensive written word of God, and we need to know the person of Jesus Christ, which is written about in here. We need that in our mind. That renews our mind. Then there's the rhema. Listen to John 15:7. Really changed the meaning of this verse for me when I saw this. If you abide in me, and my words or my rhemas abide in you, then you shall ask anything in my name, and it shall be given to you. Gives a whole new meaning to praying Scripture. When God gives you a verse for a specific situation, you begin to pray that over the situation. That's a rhema word. And the Vine's Dictionary says about the rhema, that which has been uttered by the living voice, a thing spoken or a word. You and I and our families need the Logos and the rhema word in order to navigate through this life well, don't we? Desperate for it. Two vital things that we need to know about the rhema word. The rhema word is a personal word spoken to our spirit, not necessarily our mind. You will hear it in your mind, but it might not make sense to your mind, just like the rhema word that came to me when we were getting ready to move. As for me, my way is perfect. I heard it up here, and people often say to me, how do you know it's, how on earth do you know that's God's voice? And what does it sound like? And I tell people all the time, it doesn't sound like this. Sherilyn, as for me and my, you know, it doesn't sound weird, like maybe the movies would make you think. Do anybody have a constant dialogue with themselves going on in their head all the time? We all do. We all do. We have this constant, you know, sounds just like that voice. Sounds like my voice. I'm going to tell you how you know in just a minute. How do you know if you should believe it, okay? It's connected to the Logos, Word of God. But a rhema is very personal for a situation. When we moved to Pennsylvania, nothing made sense about coming here. Beyond this very cold, dreary place, beyond going way far away from my family. My brother had just let our family know that he was positive, that he was HIV positive. We knew AIDS was inevitable. I had a preschool kindergarten in my home that was going and flourishing and fun. I had children's theater. I had just started working part-time on an at-risk home program that I could do on my own time. So I was with my kids, but yet I was able to make some money on the side. Dave and I were in the middle of very intense marriage counseling. That didn't make sense to leave our Judy. That was the name of our counselor. How can I go across country away from Judy? You know, when a counselor helps you, they become right out. Here's Jesus, and there's your. Isn't that the truth? Those of you who've been to counseling, you know, because they help bring freedom to you and they save you in so many ways. How are we going to leave Judy? See, none of it made sense up here, but I knew that I knew that I knew, in here, from this Rhema word, my way is perfect. Walk in it. Do I feel like it's perfect every day? No. But I just keep going back to that. That's what the faith, the walk of faith is. Secondly, the Rhema word will never contradict the Logos word. It will never, that's how you know what it's telling you, if it's really the Lord or not. It will not contradict something in here, the written word or the character of Jesus. Just like with my stepmother, tell her off, give her a piece of your mind. Well, I know that's not from the Lord. For a couple of reasons. Pride contradicts the character of Jesus. Philippians 2 tells us that. Pride contradicts the character of Jesus. That would be very prideful to give her a piece of my mind, tell her off. Might God say sometime you can speak to her and speak the truth in love? Absolutely. I'm not talking about being a denial queen and just ignoring everything for the sake of Jesus. That's a lie. But giving someone a piece of our mind is different. And a Rhema word came to me, particularly when I was dealing with something with this, with another gal out of Romans. I don't remember exactly where it was, but it says, as far as it is with you, be at peace with all men. And the Lord said, do all that you can do with her and then leave it alone. So see how specific the Rhema word is? Are you getting that? That's new to you. Hebrews 4:12. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, which is the soul and the immortal spirit. And I'm going to stop there. The word promises to deal with the motivation and the intentions of our heart. Remember I told you last time about the Lord revealing that I was jealous of my husband? I'm telling you, I couldn't come up with that on my own. I couldn't figure that out deep in my heart. I run from that kind of truth. See, that's why the word's so important. It says, this is what's really going on. This is, in fact, the other morning I woke up and the Lord said, you have let fear get embedded in the crevices of your being. And you need to let the water of my word begin to wash that fear away. So start getting some words. So I'm starting to study the love of God and verses on fear. I used to just get legal pads. I'll never forget the time the Lord started dealing with my mouth. Do you know that your greatest asset can also be your greatest hindrance? And the Lord started dealing with, I filled up a whole legal pad with verses, and I would just read those. I would carry it with me when I had a minute, and you just start letting that get in, get down deep. A word from God will never come without regularly reading the word of God. So if you're not regularly reading the word of God, you do need to be careful about the things you hear in your mind. But if you are in this regularly and letting it, and you're sitting with it and letting it change you and speak to you, you can begin to trust those things that you hear. You always measure them next to that. The Vine's Dictionary quote, I'm going to skip. That's on your handout. You can read that at another time. Why do our families need for you and me to be able to receive a Rhema word? Nehemiah, such a powerful book. I was looking at it again just recently, and it's about Nehemiah rebuilding the temple that had been destroyed. And in chapter 4, they're building a wall around the temple. Now, at Calvary, our mantra here is a church without walls. But you do know, and I know, that there is some places that walls are important. And when you're protecting your spirit and your heart, you have to build a protective wall around that, don't you? And in chapter 4, they're talking about building this wall around the temple. And I want to draw an analogy between the temple in the Old Testament and the temple of God for New Testament believers, us. What is the temple now? What is the temple that holds the Holy Spirit and Jesus and that holds our life with the Trinity? What is that temple? It's our body, okay? So we need to build a wall around the temple now that is our temple with the Lord. I want you to just kind of think of that as I read some of these verses. When they started building this wall, verse 1 tells us that Sanballat heard that they were building the wall, and he was angry and in a great rage, the Amplified Bible says, and he ridiculed the Jews. Sanballat, his name means a thorn in secret. The enemy is always, always coming against the body, soul, and spirit of the believing person, the follower of Jesus Christ. We need to know how to build a wall around it. And then Nehemiah goes before the Lord and prays. And in verse 6, he says, we built the wall, all of it joined together to half its height. The people had their heart and their mind in it. They were, not their mind, but, well, it does say that, their heart and their mind to work. And when Sanballat found out, along with a bunch of other people, that the walls were still going up and that the breaches were being closed, they were very angry. The enemy doesn't like it when we begin to understand and know his word. And we begin to apply a rhema word to relationships and situations. He will come against us. But then look down in verse 9. But because of them, because of our enemies, Nehemiah says, we made our prayer to God and set a watch against them day and night. So what is the watch? This is the watch. The word of God is the watch. Sometimes he'll give us words and begin to have us hang out in a certain area of scripture because he knows what's coming. And we can't know those things, can we? Who knows how many times those verses for Ben and Andy are going to minister to them and bring help to them in their life as they go through life. And then look down in 14. Nehemiah says, I looked them over and rose up and said to the nobles and officials and other people. He said it to a lot of people. There's the power of the words again. Be careful what you say. Be careful when you go to your girlfriends and say, that kid is going to be the death of me. Now, it's okay to talk honestly about your kids, but boy, there's been times when God has said, you have gotten in such a negative rap about this kid in your mind, and now it's starting to come out in your words, even if your child never heard it, because they'll know it. So he says to all these people, do not be afraid of the enemy. Earnestly remember the Lord and imprint him on your minds. That's what we do with the word of God, imprint it on our mind. Great and terrible, and take from him courage to fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Why do we need the rhema word of God? We're going to need it to fight for our families. Maybe their salvation, maybe their deliverance from something. We need the word of God, and we need the rhema word of God. There's five reasons why we need the rhema word, the benefits of the rhema word. And I've given you some verses that you can look at another time about these. It will bring us wisdom and guidance. Anybody need wisdom in their parenting, in their marriage, and their, I got a few hands, feet. Yep, need wisdom. Secondly, it will bring peace in troubled times. I have a very dear girl in my life right now, as far as I know, not a believer. She's just in awe of just the ability to work through problems. And I've been sharing some verses with her. And she's just like, it is so new to her. We take it so lightly. The treasure that we have to be able to go to the Word when we're worried about someone and believe by faith for someone. Anybody believing for somebody's salvation in their family in particular? Yeah, a bunch of us are. That is such a treasure, such a gift. We forget. Number three, it will give us power for deliverance. Ephesians 6:17 says, the sword of the Spirit, you know that verse? Is the word of God. And that word there is the word rhema. The sword of the Spirit is the rhema of God. And that sword is a small one that used for hand-to-hand combat. You make your own analogies. This rhema word is so important in our lives. Number four, counsel for relationships. When do you go to counseling? Judy used to say, Sherilyn, you always seek out a counselor when you get stuck. You keep hitting a wall in a relationship or by yourself. You just get stuck and you can't get up beyond that wall. So you go to a counselor to help you. Well, that's what His word promises to be. To be our counselor when we get stuck in relationships. Sometimes you need to see a real, true, physical counselor. But a lot of times, if we would really, truly study, meditate, pray these scriptures, it would change things in our relationships. Who does it change when I begin to let this work? Does it change my husband? Nope. Wish it did. I'm sure he wishes it would change me too. Does it change my children? Mm-mm. Who does it change? Every time. It changes me. And then somehow by God's supernatural magic, it's not magic, of course, but his supernatural ability, it begins to change circumstances and relationships in time, not always right away. Number five, it gives us courage in difficulty. Need some courage? Isn't fear just the most obnoxious bully that never quits? Do you know that feeling of waking up in the morning and here it comes? Oh, crumb, it's back. Whatever it is. And so often it's based in fear, isn't it? So often, if we really get down to the nuts and bolts, we're scared about something. We're afraid that something's going to go bad or whatever. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every rhema that comes from the mouth of God. We need more than the tangible world has to offer. It's the rhema word that will sustain us through the ups and downs of our life, and particularly our family life. Okay. Like always, I run out of time because I talk too long. Luke 5, you can read on your own. I'm going to tell you the story briefly, make a couple of points, and then we're going to go to our small groups. It's the story of Peter coming. In fact, if you go to Calvary, Pastor Dan taught on it, I don't know, the Sunday before the last time we were supposed to meet, because I was kind of amazed at that connection. And then we had snow. Yay. It's where Peter comes in. He's been fishing all night, and Jesus shows up, and crowds are following him, and he says, you know, let's get in a boat and go out a little ways, and I'll keep teaching. And Peter, they get out there, and he takes him out, and he says, I want you to go back out into the deep and fish again. And Peter has just cleaned his nets. If fishermen didn't clean nets, they would rot, and it was a very big ordeal to clean your nets. Been fishing all night long, and the Bible says that he said to the Lord, I am exhausted. You've got to be kidding. I mean, it sounds so nice and packaged when you read it in the Word, but I can't imagine that he didn't have an attitude. You have got to be joking. You want me to go out in deep. But then he says to him, but Lord, Master, he calls him Rabbi, on the teacher, on the basis of your word, I'll go do what you're asking. He goes out, and if you know the story, he comes back with this haul of fish so bad that their nets begin to break. Now, there's a rhema story there that I'm just going to pick apart, lay out for you just really briefly. First of all, the rhema word is intimate. It comes between me and Jesus in the quietness of our own heart. It's interesting to me that Jesus said, let's go out a little ways in the boat and we'll teach the crowd and then we can go out further and then I'll tell you privately. It's not this big, huge announcement before the whole world. Same way we would need to deal with our children when we're trying to deal with stuff. It's very intimate. It's very personal. Secondly, it's an utterance from the Father's heart. It's a word from the Father's heart about me, about the situation. How many times have I prayed about somebody that I'm mad at and the Lord begins to let me see them the way he sees them and it completely changes me. It's always a word from his heart, what's on his heart for us. Sometimes, often, it will come after a failure, which is how Peter must have felt. Why? I think because before we do things, a lot of times we just step out in the places we're comfortable. He knew how to fish. I'm going fishing. I don't need to, you know, ask the Lord about that. But it's also sweet in the failure because God has a better plan for next time. There's so much instruction in a rhema word. But it would be wise of us to train our ear to listen first. listen first. Those of us who are impulsive, that would be me. It has provision. It goes beyond our wildest imagination. They bring in such a haul of fish that their nets begin to break. God knows the best path to take. We may not even ever know I may never know till I get to heaven why it was important for me to live in State College, Pennsylvania. I mean, I know there's some good reason. I'm not saying that. But, you know, sometimes we won't know things on earth, but that will be revealed to us. There is provision in that. Maybe it was about my children, my merit. I'm sure it was. Not maybe. I'm sure it was. And then the Rhema word will always bring humility. When this haul of fish comes in, I might have said, we got to do that again. That worked really well. We got to do that the same way next time. But Peter didn't seem in the word, he didn't seem amazed at the haul of fish. He said to the Lord, I don't remember the exact words in the scripture, but he humbled himself and said, I am a sinner. And that's what the Rhema word will do. It will show us truth about ourselves and situations that cause us to say, wow, this God I know and love is real and is amazing and protects me. I want to do things His way. I want to train my ear to listen more often because it will change me. Robert Bronner was one of my all-time favorite students. Just found out this year he's no longer alive, which made me very sad, through Facebook and a student that had found me. And adorable little Afro-American boy, first grade, my first public school teaching experience. Robert had lost his mom the year before to cancer and said to me one day, Miss Jameson, you smell like my mama. And I thought, no, I don't. This love feels like your mama. I loved this child. He was trouble with a capital T. On the playground, he just, right here, Robert, I had to almost tether him to me like a puppy. He was so out of control. I was hurting. And I had this old teacher's desk that on the right-hand side, this little extra shelf pulled out. And that's where Robert would come up and stand there. That's when he told me I smelled like him. He's really close. Maybe I did smell something. I don't know, whatever. He would bring his little workbooks up there and stay right there. If he wasn't right by me, he got in trouble of every kind, academically, socially, everything. He and I developed this unbelievable, it was really hard to even let him go. If I could have brought him home, I would have. But anyway, this major connection. And as I was studying for this, the Lord brought him to my mind. And this, the Lord said, when I would stand up and teach my class, I had things like the Logos word that everybody needed to hear. But I had some stuff that just Robert needed to hear that he couldn't hear unless he came to my desk. I wasn't going to shout it to the class. I wasn't going to say, you know what, you are precious. But children, you won't have any friends, honey, if you kick them when you're mad. I wasn't going to say that to everybody, it would embarrass him. Or whatever I had to say. Or when he was really struggling to sound out words and say, you are going to get this. We can do this. And the Lord said, that's the picture. Tell my daughters, that's the picture. This is so important. And church and Bible study and life group and all that is so important. The word that I have for everybody is so important. But I want them to come stand by my desk right here. Where they can smell my fragrance. And where I can whisper things in their ears that they need to hear. Because remember, there's no condemnation. We don't have to be perfect. And sometimes the thing he says are hard, really hard. There were days in our marriage where I thought, I can't do it another day. I can't. And it wasn't about Dave. He's wonderful. We were just two broken people having a hard time making it. I can't do it. I would say to the Lord, like Peter did, on the basis of your word and for the sake of so-and-so and so-and-so, including me, I'll do it. But I could go force Robert to come up there, but it wasn't going to be the same as when he'd just come. He knew he'd come up there anytime he wanted. And sometimes he was there all day long. Do you need that kind of time with the Lord? Do you need that kind of time? Lynn just got some of it. Was it just so heavenly? The Lord, and here's the bottom line, and then I promise I'm done. there is a temptation and a lie for you to believe that's wonderful. Of course, Lynn hears from the Lord. She's married to the pastor. Of course, Sherilyn hears from the Lord. She's on staff at a church or whatever stupid thing God, devil says to you. Or of course, Katie hears from the Lord. She's a small group leader. Or of course, Joyce Porter hears from the Lord. She's been walking with the Lord for a long time. You know, all those lies. And then you walk out of this door and you're heartbroken because you think, I never hear from the Lord. If you take nothing away this morning, take that with you. And say, look in the mirror and say, it is a lie that I cannot hear from you, God. I will hear your word, and I'm going to start reading it and trust that I'm going to hear from you. And if you don't know where to start, go to the Gospel of John and start reading and just read until a verse it seems like, wow, that's interesting. And then write it down and start to do that meditation thing, that ruminate thing, that chew it, you know, write it on a card, carry it with you, go back to it. Hebrews 3, 1 and 2 right now, I just keep going back. Lord, there's something there for me. I don't know. Just tell me. And I just keep going. Lots of times it takes me a full year to understand something. Don't believe the lie you can't hear. He is no respecter of persons. If he speaks to me, if he speaks to Lynn, if he speaks to your small group leader, he will speak to you. He is longing to, but you have to come up to the desk. You have to come stand by the desk. Let's pray. We trust you, Lord. We trust you with everything in us that every single woman will begin to hear your voice and know your Rhema word and your Logos word will come alive for them. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.